Hey, Warners, this is your warning that the following episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About went a bit rogue from the beginning. You know, one of those episodes where we started the show before we started the show, you know, we were recording and then things happened. So put on your big girl panties and buckle up for the ride with Rachel Pitts, Keith Walters, and yours truly, Gina Tremarco.
So first of all, I just was trying to get on and three different people called me at the same, like, call, and I got off of it. I was trying to get on Zoom, call, and I got off of it three times. And you're like, are you coming? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm coming. So rewind, I got up this morning and did my normal morning routine, which is very lovely, and take my dog for a walk and And then I realized, okay, I need to get down here. And I also have been doing this new workout series of Surviving Shaunti, which is just about to kill me and the rest of the world that's doing it. It's fucking hard. Like, oh my God. But this morning, really quick side note, I was so happy. I did a movie like probably 15 years ago with this guy named Martin. He's like drop dead, drooling fucking gorgeous. Still to this, I mean, he works all the time. He's an actor, a dancer. He's everywhere. He's always in anything that is amazing with guy dancers.
Is he straight?
No, I don't think so.
How did I know that?
He's so amazing. Anyway. And I remember hearing that he did Asylum with Shaunti. And I was like, I started working out this morning. There's Martin, and he's such a precious, wonderful human being. And he's super duper hot. And the whole time I was like, I'm dying, but Martin, you're here with me. And I haven't seen him for years. So anyways, that was fun. But I fully this morning was planning to do all of this. And then I was going to, for the first time, like put on one of my classic dresses with my little red thing and do my hair. I was going to be it. But here we are. I didn't have time because I had to drive from the other house.
Well, and then you're like, what are we doing, a video stream?
And then
today?
I saw.
Did I not know this?
Did you tell me that?
No, it's been on my list of things to do. I need to get Doug off my back for it.
I would love to do that, but just let me know and we can schedule it whenever. But today was probably not the best day.
Yeah, so we need to get something on the page. And now the page is, because the page is active. So I did a basic video. But what I thought was, A, if she shows up with makeup on, we'll record it. Or she can record it on her own and take liberties with it. Don't go too off the script, but I recorded it solo for myself.
Did you? Okay.
And he could, if you want, you could do it solo.
Okay.
And then maybe he pulls out bits and pieces.
Yeah, I could do that. Because I do plan to take a shower today. And then I could get pretty.
That's fantastic.
Aim high. Make goals. Big goals. Set goals and achieve them.
I had to put on makeup because I am going outside today for a lunch meeting. So
where
I
are you
went
going
out
to
last
eat?
Night. Jimmy Hibachi's.
Okay.
Outdoor, because they got outdoor
Which
dining.
One? Down here?
Down by the mall.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, down by the mall. Not Polly's, no. So I'm meeting with like a production kind of guy because I am either turning bedroom number 3 into a studio.
Mm-hmm. Heard a rumor about that when I was half listening at our meeting the other day.
Oh, thank you. Or I may turn our theater into a studio.
Ah, that's farther away. Well, it's at my other house.
And who knows? Because we still have we don't know anything about what's going on with the theater. So I want to I want to do some investment into equipment. I don't really need a lot, but I want someone to advise me on how to set everything up properly to create like a little studio. So we're going out for lunch to do that.
You know, Mike Fitzpatrick has a really great podcast set up.
Oh, yeah?
That he bought all in one thing. I'll ask him to send the link. It's like movable arms and a really nice little mixing board. And I want to say it was about $1,000 or so, give or take. And it's real nice, real, real nice. And every time he gets on any type of even just a live video, his sound quality is great. I'll ask him for a link because it's.
Yeah. And I want to do more and I want to be able to use it for video stuff, too, because, you know, my long term goals were My long-term goals was to have video production company for corporate training.
Can we get some ring lights and a green screen?
Yeah, we have ring lights.
I don't have enough. My ring light's at my office.
I mean, I've got my ring light on my desk, but I do have a green screen here that I bought for us.
That's right.
That we have. Yeah. So it's pretty big. Bigger is better. I just need to get everything properly set up. So I don't know what we're talking about today, but
that's what I was wondering too. That's when I saw that doc come through. I was like, oh, fudge.
What are we talking about?
We could talk about some of the things I learned the other day. And that's one of the reasons I went. I was like, ooh, I look terrible. Let me try the baseball cap thing.
It's cute.
And
I mean, I can't see your face and our people can't see your face.
No, you
can. But
what if I did it sideways like that? How's
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. Yo, yo.
It's pulling my hair.
Yo, yo, yo.
So not me. But I hardly ever wear a baseball cap. But I was like, oh, let me go grab this one because it's my P90X3. And I just finished doing my Beachbody. Ooh, I love the cup. Do you have one for me, did you say?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes, I know I did not confer with you on this, but let me tell you why. It was a night where I was like, you know, you've done your work for the night, the day. You're just sitting on the couch watching TV. And next thing you know, you're like, maybe I just want to get a coffee cup with our logo on it.
I like the
and
red
then,
inside.
Of course, there's. And so just so you know, I got the most inexpensive available cup that you could only buy 10 units of on Vistaprint.
So you have 10?
An affiliate. Yes.
So we could give some away like a prize?
Yes.
Good job.
I know. So it's just simple. It's just our logo.
Yeah, these could be like exclusive first edition.
These are first edition. They're very simple.
Yeah, no, I like
it. It's very simple.
I like how you, last night, just so you guys know, Gina sent me an image of this coffee cup on Facebook. And we had a mini argument a while back when she ordered t-shirts without asking me my opinion. And I tore her design apart. I was like, why didn't you ask me? This is fucking ridiculous. You should have done this. You should have done that. And it was like a mini.
I was like, bitch, back off.
Well, you know, I've been watching this thing by Anna Wintour, who is the editor of Vogue. So side note, I just got a year membership for this thing called Masterclass. It's so fucking bomb. I'm so addicted. I want to quit everything and only watch Masterclass. But it has courses from everything from Anna Wintour, the editor of Vogue, and her classes on creative leadership. Samuel Adams teaching acting, Misty Copeland teaching dance. They've got some people teaching cooking, which I don't give a fuck about because I hate cooking. There's like gardening and movie directing and sound recording. Like every huge artist that you can think of has one. It's super cool. Anyways. So
you're talking about tearing me a new
Anna
one or
Wintour.
Something.
She said to be a really great leader, you just have to be super direct. And if you don't like something, then say it right away instead of go, you know, it's okay. And that's one reason Gina and I can get along, because I can be a total cunt and tell her the truth. And
I can either take it or not take it.
Yeah, and then we maybe not talk for a day or two over it, but at least we're honest. And I think that the point that Anna was trying to make and the reason that she's so successful as the editor of frickin' Vogue is that she's quick in her decisions. If she doesn't like something, she says it right away and then it's done. And that way you don't have to be like, maybe it's okay. It's, you know, that's not the way to get really where you want in this world. And even with your people that you work with, like, just be direct, because it's going to come back up later that you hated it from the beginning. You know, you might as well just be direct.
Well, I don't mean to genderize this, but I will for a second. I think that's why men have a certain kind of success, because they're very direct and to the point and black and white and non-emotional, you know. And I hate when they're not, they have no emotion and no empathy. You definitely don't want to deal with a narcissistic person of any gender, but they're direct and to the point, and we're like
trying to be nice.
So everyone needs to know. So I messaged Rachel. I sent her a picture of the coffee cup, but before I did, I was like, the words were, don't kill me.
I knew when you said that too, I was like, Oh, she ordered some shit and didn't ask me. I knew it before you, it like, and it was completely out of context, y'all. It was like random, you know, evening time. We hadn't talked all day. And she sent me, "Don't kill me." And I'm like, "Wait for it," because I know the picture's coming.
And she's like, "You know, I can give input on this." I was like, "Yeah, I just felt like ordering coffee cups."
No, I'm glad.
If just for myself, just for myself. So these were on Vistaprint. They were the cheapest ones. They had these inside colors, and I was like, "Oh, cool!" So I'll get one with a red inside color. I'll just slap our logo on it. I mean, like, how pissed will she get? The logo's there, and on the other side of the podcast that makes business sexy again. She might bitch about the font. And that's fine. I'm like, I'm just doing it.
I think I handled it with grace. I actually like it. And I really like the red inside. And I'm working on acceptance.
So if you want so
what's,
one.
What, how do they get one? What's the contest?
Oh, we need a contest. Maybe. Ooh. Maybe because, you know, we have started a Patreon page so people can get more of us. Maybe that could be like the first five people to sign up for, the first five people to sign up for our biggest Patreon tier, which is our irreverent tier.
Which is how much?
And you're going to ask me that.
It's 20 bucks.
20 bucks a month.
It's 20 bucks.
Yeah, it's 20 bucks a month and you get, all the bells and whistles with our show. You get to see all the raw, unedited footage like of what's happening right now. Like you see us before the show. I don't know, the show already started, but really these rogue shows start immediately. But you'll get that kind of the raw video footage. You get to hear our podcast before anybody else does 2 days early. You get, when we have guests, you get bonus footage that we're going to do extra footage with our guests after the show, kind of like in the green room. And that you wouldn't hear on the episode. And then with the irreverent tier, you get a monthly live Q&A experience with us. And Keith, if he shows up.
He's so, you know,
he said he accepted to be here today. He said,
did he?
I mean, he accepted the invite. I don't know where he is.
He's so important.
Bless. He is. So maybe the first five people who sign up for the irreverent tier get a coffee cup. How about that?
I like it. And I do like the coffee cup. I really do. And I also, immediately when I saw the red on the inside, I was like, oh, that's so great. That's probably why I didn't bitch, because I was like, I love the red on the inside. It's like my purse that I got in, and I just told this story the other day. My purse, when I went on my honeymoon with Felix in Paris, he didn't drag me, but he coaxed me, because I don't really like to shop. He coaxed me into Fendi, and he said he wanted to buy me something for our honeymoon. And I was like, okay. And I fought them because they're expensive purses. But I was like, okay, I always get a black purse, so let's see something different. And I looked at like a brown one, and I was like looking at the brown and trying to commit to brown. And I'm so not a brown purse girl, right? So I was like, I just didn't feel right about it because it was, you know, of expensive purse, right? And I'm like, I just don't think I need to commit to something that I kind of like for that kind of money. And then I said, you know what? Let me just see the black one. And they brought the black one out, and it had red inside. And I was like, oh my God, Women Your Mother Warned You About purse. And the red on the inside, I was done. I was like, black, that's it.
I'll keep that in mind going forward with anything I create without your permission. If it's red inside. But Rachel, it was red inside.
Well, you know, honestly, that brings up a good point about trying to control things. And that's really what it is. And I admittedly have a bit of a problem with that, is I want to try
door.
To control everything. I'm learning. I've been listening to a lot of philosophy lately, Ram Dass and all this. I've listened to Ram Dass's book twice now to try to figure out how to let go and not control everything.
Here, I'm gonna tell you something, because I have a couple years on you, and it's one thing I actually reflected on at one time when you and I like had it out about something. I think you start to mellow with time. And it's because you start to do things like do more education and read more. And especially if you're self-aware and you're open, I have found that over the years, I mean, I have a controlling nature as well.
What?
I know. It's crazy.
Golly, thanks for letting me know.
But over the years, I continue to work on it. I continue to work on it. Like yeah. there, I don't, you know, you talked about, and I do have a topic idea for this show today.
Good. Hey, but yeah, when so we just, kick you know, into it, just so you know, my landscape guy is here, of course. Just
fantastic.
He'll show up
that's
soon.
Good. That's good. I have noticed that over the year, you know, you talked about being direct. I'm not as direct as I used to be. And I think part of that is because I have learned to step back and just let people be and do and react. And I kind of now step back and are a little more methodical instead of having a knee-jerk reaction because I have a tendency to have a knee-jerk reaction. So there's also looking at the difference between knee-jerk reaction and being direct too. Like I take some time to like, okay, before you react, think about it before you come off like a bitch. Like that's for me. Like that has been an issue for me over the years that is a constant work in progress. And I feel like that even through COVID, while people were pushing on me like, you know, you should do a class online and you should do this online and you should do that online. And I want to say, everybody slow the fuck down.
Oh, sorry about like, that. I was one of those people.
You were one of the first, but I mean, it didn't run me wrong at all. I mean, I love the information that you sent me. And what I did was I compiled like all this info that went into a folder of things people were sending me of like, you should. But I decided to take my time with it and be more methodical, not procrastinate, but I didn't want to be like everybody else running out the gate going, oh my God. Because as a matter of fact, I had a prospect yesterday at a sales call who he's like, I just want to know you're going to do something different. Are you going to be like everybody else who's offering a Zoom call into this, into that, right? So I didn't want to be that person rushing out. I wanted to really feel the space, find out what people need. I've interviewed a lot of businesses, what's going on with them. And it's really interesting what that's evolved to of what they want versus having this knee-jerk reaction of like, I'm going to throw this out there and create it. And you know what? If you're like a Gary V, you can do that.
Yeah, but if you go back and listen to his story, he started out years ago. This is like probably 10 or 20 years of him just throwing it out there because he started out years and years and years and years and years ago on YouTube when YouTube first started. Like he has, he just has his system in place. So throwing it out there for him is like kind of like you teaching an improv class. You have 20 some years of experience of throwing it out there. So.
Yeah. And I'm good with throwing it out there. I just also wanted to be a little more methodical because I know how much work goes into anything you launch. It's, you know, you and I are idea people. We have a million great ideas and it's like, and then it's like, oh, who the fuck is launching this? Who is going to now push this out, market it? How big is the platform? Like, so instead of creating even more stress for myself. So that was my point on getting over control factors. But a couple things before I have an idea. We talked about Patreon and I just want to, because when this episode airs, we might already have people who've signed up for that tier. So I want to put a little disclaimer on that. So if you're hearing this episode about our Patreon page and the chance to get a coffee cup, this episode will be valid for you because this episode probably won't come out until June. So I just want to put that out there.
I'll look better by then.
You always look fabulous. So here's my idea. And by the way, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About.
It's a podcast that makes business sexy again.
I'm Gina.
And
this
Rachel.
Is Rachel.
And we're random as hell.
We are random and rogue as hell. Ooh, two more R's. Raw, real, relevant, random, rogue.
Resilient.
resilient, and irreverent. God, it's a lot of R's. So, you know, we're still in the midst of COVID when we're recording this. It's the month of May. And things are starting to open back up. Oh, my God. I was so excited. And I felt at the same time like a criminal, by the way. I went out last night.
Where'd you go?
I went to Old Chicago Pizza.
How was that?
In Garden City. It was amazing to like feel human and normal sitting outside. It was a little surreal. All the employees are in masks and gloves. And I don't want to get all political here, but there's so many different views and stats on this wearing gloves and masks thing.
Well, so anyway. I usually wear a mask when I go to the grocery store, but last night I was in the midst of like just challenging clients, I'll just say. And so Felix came home and he's like, just come with me. Let's go to the grocery store and get dinner. And I said, great. So we went to the grocery store, and as I was walking in, I realized I didn't have a mask on, and I was like, ooh, this is weird. And I didn't say anything because of Felix. The only mask he knows is like something he might wear out hunting. So like, I just was like, my husband will protect me. So we go in the grocery store, and I felt like a Women Your Mother Warned You About woman, because everybody had masks. Everybody was like,
did everybody?
No, not everybody. I'll take that back. Not everybody.
Because some. I mean, I do. When I get out of the car at the grocery store, I look around. I'm like, who's wearing a mask?
It's some.
Is anybody not wearing a mask?
Some are and some aren't. And what's really interesting, because I went and got my oil changed yesterday too, and then we'll get back to the Chicago pizza. I got my oil changed at the car dealership yesterday, and all the employees were wearing masks. But some of the customers were and some weren't. And a lot of the people that weren't were older folks.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, I felt like a rebel. And at the same time, I'm like, I want to post a picture of this, but are people going to say, I don't give a shit what people say. You know what?
Well, you don't want to start an unnecessary debate, because there are people that will chastise you for putting people at risk, whatever their opinion is.
Yeah, and there are people who are negative as hell posting deaths every day. And can we create some positive energy? How many people are living? I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to go on that bandwagon, because it'll get me hyped up.
What was the topic we were going to talk about?
So the topic.
Well, hopefully when everybody hears this, we will be out of the woods. I hope, gosh, if it's in June.
Yeah, who knows? Okay. Who knows? Dun, dun, dun. I was on a Zoom happy hour yesterday, which is so funny, because when I got on this morning to record the Patreon video, I like looked in the background and on my desk was a bottle of wine. I should remove that.
Why?
I don't know, but
you should get a brand. You should look into dry wines and then put a dry wine back there and brand it.
So. Boone's virtual
Farm
happy hour
or something. Like, why were you embarrassed?
Boone's Farm? I was like, I don't know. Do people want to see the bottle of wine on my desk? I did a good job too.
It's not even finished. See, that's the difference between you and me. There's never a half empty bottle of wine around when I was still drinking.
So, well, I've had my nights. I've had my nights.
All right. We will get to the topic that Tina is going to share.
So it was a virtual happy hours, Women Wine Wednesdays for the Myrtle Beach Area Chamber of Commerce. They used to do these in person. So and I was a speaker at one of them. So they do them quarterly. They did this one virtually. And there was a woman on it, a mom who has a business. And we were talking about, you know, what things have we done positively through this to take advantage of the downtime? And that was part of one of my Tuesday Just the Tip videos, where I'm like, I'm starting to feel anxiety over, oh my God, I have not maximized my time during the downtime. Like, that's how I'm feeling. I'm like, I still need more time to like write the book and do the this and do the that. But she was saying that she's avoided going on the different Zoom calls that were opportunities for learning and networking, because she felt so, she didn't say these words. I'm summarizing it. She felt awkward because she's a mom at home with three kids running around, and she didn't want to be that person with three kids running around, you know, causing a scene. And I'm like, no, this is like the most forgiving time ever.
Mute button, girl.
This is the most forgiving time ever. People are forgiving of what's going on these. We don't have to be as professional. And that might become a new normal. And so that was kind of her aha, you know, at the end of the call, that the end of our little happy hour session, that she wasn't going to worry about it anymore. And so she felt like in all this time, she hasn't taken advantage of that. So I thought that was kind of an interesting topic of, you know, how we don't as women leverage opportunities because we once again fall into imposter syndrome, and we once again are worried about what people think about us. And the whole premise, the thesis, the point of our show is to promote being real, promote being raw, promote being yourself, and using that to be your best possible self and not giving a shit what people think about you.
And I'm so glad you have this topic, because I can tie in some of the stuff that I've been learning through Shalene Johnson's Marketing Impact Academy. I just started doing it last weekend, and I'm super excited about it. And if you want to know about it, then we'll have a link in the show notes on it. And one of the things that I learned the other night, I was texting Gina during this coaching call that they did, and they talked, like, first of all, Shalene and her husband Brett and her son Brock are very impressive people. They're very intelligent, but yet they'll be totally like in the middle of a coaching call with probably, I don't even know how many thousand people, hundreds and maybe thousands of people on this call. And they're like, oh, okay, Brock. All right. See you later. Good luck on your midterm. Oh my God. And then like that's how they were operating. And like, they were really natural, and yet they gave some really great content. And part of the messaging, and one reason I put on my P90X3 hat, is you are who you are. And so people who follow us in business, and our friends as well, they want to know, especially somebody like you, Gina, and somebody like me, we're influencers in the community because we really work hard on our businesses and we know people and all the things. And so people want to know, what are you into? What do you like? What wine are you drinking? Like, what's the best one? And so there was a huge, long discussion on how can you leverage these things? And why aren't you sharing these things? And why are you afraid of it? Now, there's a difference between like shoving your network marketing opportunity down people's throats.
Yeah.
And just admittedly, like for me, I was a Beachbody coach forever, and I was shoving the opportunity down people's throats. But the fact of the matter is, I freaking love Beachbody workouts. I love Shakeology, and I drink it every morning as my breakfast. And I do, and I have been so happy that it's familiar to me that during COVID, I'm not frustrated that the gym's closed, because I just pull out my Beachbody workouts and just do them. And so stuff like that, and all the things that you're into, you can be actually making a profit on this, if you think about it. So they went into all these ways that you can think about all the things that you're really into and that you support, and why not become an affiliate of those products? And then, so you'll have to join the Marketing Academy to find out exactly all the details of how to do it.
Ooh.
But the main thing is to, especially now when, I mean, there is the opportunity that we might have a relapse of this whole thing. If, you know, you just never know if things might close up again. We don't know. So if you lost your employment, why not figure out other streams of income that you don't have to suddenly join some network marketing thing and do all the things, but you can find a product that you're into. Like, you and I talk about Dave Asprey all the time, and yep, super fans, love the whole Bulletproof lifestyle. And
Bulletproof
so
coffee.
After that call, you know, now we're an affiliate of Bulletproof. And it doesn't take long, but you just, part of like this downtime that I think people can take advantage of, even if you didn't do any massive, like life-changing shift in your life, I bet you had some downtime to think about, hey, what did I miss about, you know, this being in quarantine. What did I love about it? What did I start doing that I didn't have time for that I so love? What did I think about and start wishing that I could do if I had to change my life? And then you can kind of build off of that of like, what do I really love? And so that's been part of what I've been doing is like, so what do I really use every day? Like, what can I not live without? What do I want to share with people? And then you don't have to sell it to people. You just have to be like, this is what I do. Like, this is how I roll. This is actually what my day looks like. And hey, if you want to get some of it, then this is where you get it.
Well, to your point, we are influencers and people follow us and they want to know what we think and what we use. And they want to follow what we do. So you can be so organic about it. By the time this episode airs, it will either be like the episode before or after. We're going to have a man on the show named Scott Ferguson. And he's going to be talking about or has already talked about, depending on
day it is.
But he's going to talk about affiliate marketing. And he's a realtor in South Florida who's got affiliate marketing. I don't know if it's his side hustle. I'm calling it his side hustle. But he was showing me, like, he literally showed me his tax return for 1 year. Like, no, not his tax return, how much money he owed the government.
Oh, whoops.
And I was like,
from affiliate sales?
Just in general. You know, just he said that he, and I don't want to reveal too much of his story, but during the recession crushed him in 2008, 2009. You know, when everything
Especially Florida. Totally, oh my gosh.
And actually, I don't think he was in Florida at the time because he's originally from Michigan. Okay. He's only been in Florida for a few years now. But he said coming through this pandemic, he really didn't get hurt too bad because he had other things in place. And so that's a really big learning of, and I thought about that too. When I started my business, I started it during the recession. I didn't have so much to lose because I had already lost my job. I had lost my property, right? I went through loss as well, but I created a business during that time. Coming through this pandemic crisis situation, has it been financially painful? Yes. Has it destroyed me? No. Because I had other things in place to keep me from going completely down, right? Like I had some cash still in the bank. Like I had mechanisms and systems in place to make sure that it was going to be hard, but I didn't get destroyed. So, you know, I think that's something to think about. What are you going to do differently?
And living in today's world, there are so many opportunities out there to come up with what makes you happy. Like, what is it that you're, what are you into? And it doesn't have to be your end all be all. Like, that was one thing Shalene said on the call the other day. She said, stop trying to figure out what is my thing and who I am. She's like, just get over yourself. Like, what do you like? What are you into? Like, what are you into right now? And what makes you happy? Because, you know, we've all heard 100 times, I'm sure, you know, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life, which is half true. Because if you really, you know, but it is true that you'll get up with more excitement about moving towards your goals and you'll get less upset when you fall down and things fall apart. If you really, really, truly enjoy the direction that you're headed. And, you know, it's all about walking that path towards where you're going. There's never like a end stop of like, I've made it. Like, the research is there that proves that suddenly you have the corner office and you have $1 million in the bank and you have the trophy wife and you have the fancy car. That does not mean that you're going to be happy. Or the trophy husband, let's call it. You know,
I'm all for having a trophy husband.
Me too. And when he cooked dinner last night, I knew I had him. God love him.
I'm going to keep my eyes open.
Well, and you know, the thing about it, I have been divorced twice, as you guys who are familiar with our show know. And I think that's part of my progress. That's part of the reason that I have a really happy, fun marriage now. that I truly believe will last, that we are going to grow old and die holding hands. Like, I really, really do believe that. And we laugh till we pee ourselves. And he will make me cry by the sweet little things that he just says randomly. And that is what it's supposed to feel like, I think. I mean, I have been divorced twice, so maybe I'm totally fucking wrong. But the first two times that I was married, I knew that it wasn't right. I knew. Mm. I really did. And I didn't necessarily know that I was going to get divorced, but I can think like vividly back to knowing that this is not what it's supposed to be and knowing that I'm not happy. And my little type A self was like, okay, I can fix this. And so I tried to fix both of them and it didn't work. So then I realized after divorce number two, I have to fix me.
Well, you know, it's funny that you, I'm happy that you actually answered a question that was going through my head. And I want to phrase this the right way, right? Because you're like, this is, you know, this is the way you're supposed to feel. I think like you're in this, like you're still in a little bit of a honeymoon yeah. phase. I mean, it's been a year. But I'm happy that you kind of backtracked of like, but you knew in those other marriages that they were wrong.
I did.
Like you had a sense of, cause I was to be like, how do you know this one is, how do you know this one is perfect versus the other ones? But you answered that question because, you know, I think that's something, you know, I went to therapy about, like, and I'm not going to go into too much detail. But I went into therapy to understand, like, how do you know you're in the right relationship or how do you stop being in bad relationships?
Well, and I trust
your red flags.
Totally. And I will say that not all of marriage number one and not all of marriage number two were all bad. Like if I think back to when I first started out with husband number one, we were on cruise ships and he was so adventurous and dashing and daring, I call him. And he really was. And we went and climbed these mountains in Alaska and saw things that I would have never seen or done without mm-hmm. being with that person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were some great moments. And same with Roxy's father. We did some amazing things together. We recorded music together. We still are. We probably should have just been in a band and like had a kid together instead of got married. But we did amazing things together. I remember laughing hysterically with him. But there also were moments where it was not good. And then it just, when the not good comes out, and you rub against one another, that causes friction that doesn't feel good. And then you can't really get away from it. That's when I think I started to realize that this was not right. And like, I that's one thing that's so amazing about Felix and I, that we went to Paris on our honeymoon. And he asked me like, where do I want to go? It was my choice. I remember always being married to Roxy's father and wishing that one day I could go to Paris and knowing that I wouldn't go with him. And there was a point where I was like, well, I'll just go one day with Roxy, or I'll go one day by myself when Roxy's grown or whatever. But I knew that it wasn't going to be with him. And I knew that it wouldn't be the romantic experience of like, I just knew, I knew it in my soul. Because he hated the French either also. Like, but I just, and I hoped for it. And I think that when you have those kind of things deep in your soul, like, for some reason, I just wanted to go to Paris in my life. That was one of my things. And everybody has those kind of things. Just hold on to that. And it's not that you suddenly have to leave your relationship, but just know that you deserve to have that dream and you deserve to feel that feeling that you're imagining in your mind. Otherwise, why do we have imaginations?
And you deserve to be with someone who's either going to A, support those dreams, or be part of them. I mean, I would prefer someone to be part of them to have, I don't need someone to be exactly like me, but.
No, trust me, you don't want someone exactly like you.
No.
That would be,
that'd be boisterous. Scary. Oh my gosh. You know, I had this big dream to go back to Italy. I've been there several times, but I wanted to go back to Italy for my 50th birthday, which has come and gone. And, you know, it was a little depressing. I was disappointed. I was disappointed because someone knew that was a big deal for me. and it didn't happen. And I could have done it on my own. Sure. But you want to be, if you're sharing your life with someone, you want to be able to share those things. And that was like, that was all I wanted. That's all I want. I'm like, I just want to go to Italy for my 50th birthday. So it'll come again.
Maybe it's 55.
Maybe it's 53.
Maybe it's 53. Yeah. And I think there's...
It's cheap to go to Italy right now.
Apparently. Just wear your mask that time. But I think it's super crucial for women and men to... People make life, their purpose of life, a lot of times about a job or a house or, I mean, for a while I used to make it about how fit I was, you know, like my body, your kids being perfect, like all these things that are, they're kind of actually shallow. Let's call it what it is. It's not really what life is about. Life is experiences and growing and moving through the whole thing. So if you have little dreams that you've had for a long, long time, or hey, might be a new dream that started today, there's no reason why you can't have that and figure out, okay, this is what I really want to have or do or become. And just figure out, what does that process look like? You know, like weight fitness journeys of somebody that is very obese and decides they want to be fit one day. Anyone can do it. It ain't necessarily going to be easy. Anyone can get to Italy if they want. Ain't necessarily mm-hmm. going to be easy.
Yeah.
But yeah. You got to just decide that's the direction that you're going to take. And then your actions begin to follow that path one step at a time.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah. You just have to set those goals and put them out there and be intentional and write them down. You know, what we've been going through with COVID, like I mentioned earlier, one part of my long-term, like part of my 5-year plan, and I want to say, I should look back at this. I might have put this on my 5-year plan in either 2017 or 2018, was to have a production arm of the business and taking training, not just training. I'm trying to like define it. You may have seen this video that's been circulating, and it's an old one, and everyone like kept sharing it with me. I'm like, yeah, I've seen it. It's the video where it's in a conference room and various people start entering the room as it's a parody of being on a conference call, but you physically see them. So someone, it's like, Rachel has entered.
Oh my God, that thing is hilarious.
Rachel has joined the call, right? It's been around for years.
Has it really?
Right?
Oh God, yes. It's so funny.
Yeah, Rachel has joined the call, right? And then you got the guy who's standing outside in the hallway talking to the wall, and they're like, where's Bill?
I can't get in.
He's like, he can't get in, right? So that's always been part of the bigger vision, was to create this division that worked with organizations in ways to train that are kind of funny, and using video to do that, and to merge my background with Carolina Improv into the corporate training realm, using my background in my days of video production, merging all of those. So that's been part of the 5-year plan. Well, that 5-year plan might be coming up in like 3 years. And it seemed like a really unattainable thing, but when we get off this, recording, I'm heading to a meeting to talk about getting that going. So, you know, when you write things down, sometimes you won't even realize that you wrote down a dream or a plan or a big goal. And then all of a sudden, just because you put it down, you start setting things in motion without realizing it. It almost becomes like this subconscious thing that you start, those things start to happen for you just because you made one time a declaration.
Yeah. And I'm pulling out, and you can hear me shuffling because I'm pulling out my passion planner, which I think I got this passion planner because you recommended it to me. Pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which we'll have a link in the show notes for that.
Fantastic. Don't forget to drop those links somewhere for Doug.
I already have it in Asana.
Look at you go, girl.
Learning. So in this passion planner, it's so cool. I've gotten them for the last 3 or 4 years, I think. At the very beginning of it, there's this thing where you sit down and you you start your wish list, and it has your goals for 3 months, for 1 year, for 3 years, for a lifetime. And it's funny because there's a few things that come up for me. Things change, like already, like in January, I was like, I'm going to be an Iron Man. I'm doing the Iron Man thing. And now I'm like, I just don't feel like that right now. Do less was in my, because our whole beginning of the year thing with all of myself, Gina, and Keith was like, our theme
at the beginning of the year was slow down. Look at what we did.
Do less and regular schedule were in my 3 month goals. So I definitely, my schedule's like Groundhog Day right now. But I have things that come up that, especially like my lifetime goals, and then my yellow classic convertible Mustang that I'm going to have one day. That's a thing, I know, but I've wanted it forever. And the reason that that's so fun for me is that that's going to be like a toy. That's going to be like, when I've reached a certain amount of financial freedom and success that I can afford to buy a toy that I keep a cover on, and sometimes I drive it. I have this vision of me and Roxy like in 50s, like headscarves and big glasses, like driving in my yellow classic convertible. And it's always on my list. It's one of those things that's always on my list.
Yeah.
And always on my list has been, and it's funny because I have been working through this during COVID and all these different programs that I've been pursuing to try to figure out, I'm trying to figure out my thing. And like Gina, like you just said, what is the thing that is the culmination of your lifetime of knowledge and your lifetime of experience? You know, is it a production company? Is it Pivot 10 Productions that brings in all of your improv past, all of your past business, sales, training, all of your directing skills that kind of have been dormant for a while, and even your singing and dancing, love of singing and dancing that could come into that. And my life, one of my lifetime goals has always been create a program that empowers young girls and women that is timeless. Like some kind of thing like that. And I never really know exactly how that's going to be or who it's going to be niched out for, but it's always been there. Like, is it my book? Is it a program?
Well, the fact that you wrote it down, it keeps it top of mind. So as different things come into your world, it gets clearer and clearer on how to get to that point, mm-hmm. right? Because you had that idea and you put it out there. And to your point, like this video production thing has been on my list for a really long time. And going back to what you say, it's about what is that thing that you love to do? I mean, my first business was a marketing company where all we did was video production. I don't think a lot of people know that. I mean, I produced a number of commercials for local businesses as a producer and a director and a copywriter and like the visionary behind creating the messaging. That's always been my thing. And radio and TV have always been my thing. And that's why I started podcasting again several years ago before we started this podcast. I'm like, I miss that. So I'm going to have a podcast.
Well, and you make a really, really good point, Gina. And I think we all hold ourselves back from what we actually would like. So like what you'd like to have is a production company someday. And you're like, one day I want to have a production company and own that. But you forget that you actually have always been that. And mm-hmm. so like my yes. thing is I'd like to empower women. But, you know, I did a poll, like a sort of poll. It's funny how I come up with these creative ways to poll people and they don't really know I'm doing it. That I was like, what is the one thing that I'm really good at? Just one thing. And a lot of people put inspiration, motivation, these kind of things. So It pointed out to me that the she that I want to be, I already am and I have been.
Ooh. Oh, mic drop. The she that I want to be, I already am. I want to stress that because I want Rebecca to make sure that becomes a graphic.
Because thinking back to when I was in art school, and this was in 1991, we were in a dorm, it was a boarding school, and I used to go and put, and I don't even know how I found them because the internet wasn't even a thing. I think it was like in these things called books. And I would post every day outside my door a new inspirational post. I would put it on a piece of paper and stick it on the outside of my door. And it became a thing that the other girls would come and check it out and see what I had. What's this? What's Rachel? It started out like, oh, what's Rachel got posted today? But then it became like people came and looked. And so I just have always been that person that I mean, I've got my self-centered, selfish moments, of course, like a lot of them. But I always have had that thing of like, I want to help other people and inspire them somehow, because it seems to me there's a lot of people that really need it. And in showbiz and in business and good God in parenting and life in general, it's so easy to get down. And sometimes just that one little piece of paper that you see that has something that is exactly what you needed to see at that one moment to make you go, oh, you know what? I can, I'm going to be okay.
The universe delivers.
So I ask you, Warners, who is the she that you want to be?
That you probably already are.
It's a good question to think about. And I think that this slower time, you know, some people have chosen to get really upset about the limitations that have been placed on us. Legitimately, I do understand and empathize with some of the people that are not able to have the freedom to go outside, or that it probably just really comes out of fear. And that's the how it's manifested itself, is like fear of really what the hell is going on. And so it comes out in anger of like my freedom's being taken away. But some of us others out there, and there's still time because we ain't done with this shit yet, that you can just go, okay, what is this stillness in the flow of life? Where's the opportunity there, like to listen to myself and what the universe is trying to tell me about the she I want to be?
I love it. I'm so gangsta.
She I wanna be.
That sounds like a TikTok dance.
I should come up with
which, by the way, by this point, hopefully the TikTok dance you choreographed for me has gone viral. I was showing it to a friend of mine last night, and he's like, "You need to do Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation." I'm like, "Yeah."
You know what? You want to hear a crazy trivia bit? Janet Jackson, yeah. Rhythm Nation was the first concert I ever went to.
Well, he made me watch it last night, and I was like, I know. He goes, he's like, I just think those moves will be easier for you. I'm like,
easier than the moves I did? I was trying to make it easy. Like, I can make it even more easy, but I wanted it to have at least a level of some, like, it take you a minute.
Oh, no. Well, he didn't understand right. TikTok either. So I had to, like, I'm like, let me show you what we're talking about. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah. But then we watched the Rhythm Nation video. We're so dorky. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, well, maybe that'll be TikTok video number two.
The Rhythm Nation. Freaking love Rhythm Nation.
I
Janet
know.
Jackson had some serious moves, and she might have learned them from another sibling, maybe. But
yeah, maybe. Oh, by the way, when you're ready for your Mustang, I got a guy who knows everything about Mustangs.
Well,
so.
I will be ready for it, but what I need is probably, I'll call it, $50,000 worth of play money. Like, I need to do it the way I want to do it. Like, I want it to be nice.
Well, then put it on
your
list.
It's been on my list for years. Okay. I have a picture of it too on my phone that I look at all the time. I want to know exactly how I want it to be, and it has to be like yellow.
Awesome. I always wanted a red convertible Mercedes. Hmm. Like an old one. Not a new one, an older one. You know, like one from the 70s.
And everybody has their car that they love. Felix wants to get me a Jeep. And every time I see a fucking Jeep, he's like, look, there's your Jeep. Isn't it great? And I'm like, I hate Jeeps. And he's like, oh, my God, maybe we should get you two of them. And I'm like, I fucking hate Jeeps. It's not my thing. It's somebody else's thing. And he's just hilarious. It's so funny. I'm like, I don't want a Jeep. He's like, it'll be great when you have that Jeep.
I think he wants a Jeep
is why. I'm like, just get a Jeep.
I don't know. What did we talk about on this episode? What are our takeaways as we
The big takeaway that I didn't even know I had in me was that the she that you want to be you probably already are, and you're overthinking it. And you just have to learn how to amplify who you already are and be even more of who you are, because that's when it's really going to work. And also, people will know that you're being authentic and you're not trying to be something you're not, because people, they don't always even know. They're like, they'll tilt their head to the side and be like, something's not quite right. But when you see somebody, like a lot of times, like these huge, big, let me think of somebody like Rachel Hollis, let's call it. It's probably been a long, long, long lifetime battle of her becoming who she is. When you look at somebody like her, you just know, like, she's just fully being herself.
Oh, God.
Fully on being herself. Same with Gary Vee. He swears. He's like, if you don't want to hear me say fuck, then don't listen. Kind of like us. But, like, he just has figured out exactly how to be exactly who he is. And that's when people are drawn to you, because they want to actually be exactly who they are. And they're fascinated with people who are doing that, because they're like, how do you do that? I want to be who I am. Isn't that so strange?
Yeah. You just do it. I just had a call yesterday with my marketing team for Pivot 10 Results and our virtual conference. And the owner texts me after the meeting. It was with her and two of her people. And she's like, I just love you. You crack me up. I'm like, why? What did I do? It was like the first meeting with all of us together. And I was being a little sassy because I was talking about someone. I was talking about how I was leveraging my womanly ways to make some things happen in business. And
some of us buy those.
She's like, you crack me up. She's like, your dirty mind. And I'm like, oh my, I go, is the rest of your team okay? You're like experiencing me. But it's like, you know, okay, well, this is who I am. I'm here to just be me. You don't like it. Whatevs. So that's the theme here today was, be the she you already are and amplify who you are. That's somehow the title will be like amplify yourself, or I don't know.
We didn't start out with that, but we'll go with that.
We're going to go with that because it was another rogue episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. Thank you to all of our warners for listening today to this random rogue episode. I'm Gina Tremarco with Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv. For more about me, you can check out our website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. Don't forget to check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/warners.
Yes, and I'm Rachel Pitts. You can find all of my contact info at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com or all over social media and at the website, The Singing Lender. And there's also some cool free downloads at our website. And what else? Reviews.
Don't forget about Keith Walters. That's what Keith said. You can check out Keith Walters at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com as well. We miss you, Keith. We don't know where you were tonight. Maybe today. Maybe you were sleeping in. And you have not rated or reviewed the show, we would love that if you would do that wherever you get your podcast. But more importantly, if you love the show, share the show. Share the love and share it out with your friends and colleagues. We'd appreciate that. So without further ado,
she that you want
for us to go. Warner's out.
This really will get serious soon.
It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof, monkey, monkey.